Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Silver and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Let's get right to it. This was Greeny. This was a little over an hour ago. And he had Lewis Riddick on the show. And they were talking about Deshaun Watson. And then this came up.
And then I read your tweet on the air that is now 43 minutes old. But someone named Derek Connor tweeted at you that Watson should go to the Chicago Bears. And you sort of, your response, I never know what the name of this emoji is, but you sort of gave it the,
It's Bear Down. It's their song that they sing up there.
Oh, I know that one.
Which other one did I put?
That little thinking emoji,
The thinking emoji, it was interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's interesting because and the reason why I put that is because, look, if you're in Chicago right now, if you're Matt Nagy, if you're Ryan Pace, if you're ownership, okay, and you're thinking, well, let's just forget ownership. Okay, let's just forget them for a second. Let's look at Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And you know this is it for you this year. You got to do something. And you definitely have to do something at that quarterback position. Would you be thinking of a way to try and say, look, is there any way possible we could get this guy here? Because I can tell you this. Matt Nagy loves Deshaun Watson. And Matt wasn't in Chicago when Ryan Pace drafted Mitch Trubisky. Matt was still in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I know he loves Deshaun Watson. I know for a guy right now who sees his future in Chicago teetering on the brink of disaster, you think right now he's not trying like hell to figure out a way to get into the mix in that discussion? I guarantee you he is. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So that's why I made it. I didn't think of it, you know, when we were talking about it for the show, because they don't have the kind of cap space that a team like Indy or the Jets have, and they don't. So therefore, and they're looking at a situation where maybe the GM and the coach are you know, really sitting there with a very uncertain future. Whereas with these other organizations, when you're talking about the Jets, you're talking about teams like the Colts, I mean, they're set. They're set for the foreseeable future, and they have a very solid direction and a direction that you can see very clearly going out 2, 3, 4 years. And that's why I didn't put Chicago in there. But Chicago's desperate. Head coach and the GM are desperate to figure out the quarterback position. And I'll tell you this, it made me start thinking when that guy tweeted that at me, and knowing Matt like I know him, I know his wheels are turning right now trying to figure out, could I be a player in this? Could I somehow get my name into this? Trust me, he's trying to figure it out.
Really interesting stuff.
Yeah,
Waddle, before you get into it, I want to bring Adam in because we're short on time, and then we can talk all about this. Adam Amin does great work broadcasting NFL games for Fox. He is also the voice of the Bulls. He's done a ton of Tom Brady's games. And, of course, he's a guy who is from Chicago, and we absolutely love Adam, and he joins us on the Corona Hotline. Adam, great to talk to you. You heard the bite from Lewis Riddick. Do you believe the Bears are a serious player for Deshaun Watson?
I would like to believe that they are, based on everything Lewis said, because everything Lewis said, and oftentimes the guy is on point with his analysis, he really makes a lot of sense. Everything he said has washed over Bears fans in Chicago, and it's like a safety blanket. It's a weighted blanket right now that makes them feel safe and calm to say, yes, there is a possibility for that. The elements that scare me from thinking that the Bears are a serious contender for Deshaun Watson are, remember where Deshaun Watson is coming from. He's coming from a place of friction, dysfunction, and disorganization in the Houston Texans. Right now, they are looked at as somewhat of a laughingstock around the NFL because of all of these issues that I'm sure you guys have talked about at various points over the course of the last month when discussing Deshaun Watson. There's an impasse between the GM and the ownership. There's an impasse between ownership and the players. And There's obvious that soundbite of J.J. Watt patting Deshaun Watson on the back as they walked off the field in Week 17 saying, I'm sorry we wasted 2 years of your career. Like, that tells you something about Houston. And when you're coming from a position of dysfunction, all you're looking for is a certain level of stability. And I don't currently know if the Bears show that because, as you heard in the bite there, this might be a lame duck year for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace if they don't have the type of year that ownership needs them to have, that fans feel like they should have in terms of a level of success. So I don't know if I think that might be the biggest hurdle in terms of Deshaun Watson leaving Houston to come to a place like Chicago compared to, let's say, Atlanta, that just got a new head coach, is in the process of reshuffling the deck front office-wise and coaching-wise, and at least you get the sense would have some stability for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, this is a two-part, you know, answer. Is and Adam, you're spot on, in my opinion, on when Deshaun has a no-trade clause, he can veto a trade to an unstable environment like Chicago. And when you look at what Chicago would be bartering with the Houston Texans, I just don't believe there's enough in their cupboard to offer the Texans something that would be a better offer than, say, whether it's the 49ers or, as you mentioned, Adam, the Falcons. It just, there seems to be too many obstacles between the Houston Texans and the Bears and making a deal like that happen.
Yeah, but and part of that is asset related. You know, what can you flip? What can you give away that isn't already going to diminish the strengths of your team? The strength of this team is in its defense, and there's a lot of great pieces that would be of interest to other organizations around the NFL. But are you willing to part with those when that has been what has built up at least some semblance of success over the last 5 years? It's been the defense. That's also now in flux. So maybe do you consider a shift? You know, I know Jay's probably going to end up, I know sources talked about Jay getting the, you know, the D-line coach getting the job as DC, but are they going to be willing to part with a Khalil Mack contract Eddie Jackson? Are you going to be willing to part with his deal to get a quarterback when that's the piece of your organization that has helped you actually build up the success? I don't know if they have the assets to equal what another team is going to want for a top flight quarterback talent, or at least a solid quarterback talent in Deshaun Watson. Your mileage may vary on that.
Yeah. Adam Amin joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. My philosophy, and we get this call often, Adam, is, hey, why would you trade for a quarterback when you then can't support him? But when you have gone decade after decade after decade without finding a quarterback, don't you fix the quarterback whenever you can and then worry about the other stuff then afterwards?
Can I give you an example from 3 hours north? I mean, let's look at the Packers organization. Have we looked at any... Had anybody really known who the offensive line was before the playoffs started for the Packers? It's David Bakhtiari and a bunch of guys that are within like a few years of starting their NFL careers. Nobody knows who Elgton Jenkins is, but he might be one of the most versatile players in the league. You don't need to have established free agent talent necessarily to build up your organization if you have a quarterback that can elevate the play of everybody else around him. That's one thing that I think Rodgers is really solidifying in these last couple of years, in particular this year, with his level of play. Devontae Adams is a top-flight receiver, but did anybody really consider him to be a top-flight receiver? I'm not trying to knock Mitch. I'm not trying to knock Foles. I'm not trying to knock these guys that have played quarterback in Chicago because they have won a lot in the last few years. But at the same time, Allen Robinson should be one of the elite. Like, he should be having a Devontae Adams-type, you know, 2-3 year run if you give him the right quarterback. So I'm in agreement with you in terms of thinking that you have to fix the quarterback position first. And I think if you find the right guy, Houston has made the playoffs with not a great offensive line. Deshaun Watson gets his butt kicked on a consistent basis over the last couple of years. He's a mobile quarterback too. He's going to get some hits, but yet he's elevated the play of a lot of people around him, turned DeAndre Hopkins into a top-flight, elite-level receiver. I have in full agreement in terms of quarterback and then building around.
Adam, you spoke of the Green Bay Packers. You also saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady quite a bit this year. Break down the NFC title game for us, if you will.
I'm a big fan of how the evolution of Tampa Bay has taken place. When we saw Tampa Bay week 2, week 3, week 7, and week 15, or 16. So I got a really good look at them evolving over the course of the year. And Bruce Arians and Tom Brady told us in week 2, essentially the same kind of line. Brady said, I've been married for 20 years, and now I have to go out and date and figure out if this relationship works. So I feel like seeing what they've turned themselves into, obviously adding talent over the course of the year. If Evans is healthy, that's great, but adding Antonio Brown as a third, fourth piece, Gronkowski finally getting his legs underneath them. That offensive line has been excellent this year. I think they might have the best linebacking duo, or at least one of the three best in the league with White and David. Their back end is susceptible to big plays, but they played fairly well against Green Bay the first time around. I think I still give Green Bay a slight advantage. They're going to be at home. It's going to be cold. Not that that really affects Brady because he's played in the cold before, but I think Rodgers is comfortable playing in front of the home fans. If they can prevent Brady and a guy like Scotty Miller, Brady and Mike Evans, Brady and Gronkowski from picking up 7 or 8 chunk plays in the game, 20-plus, 30-plus yard plays, turning them into deep shots, setting up touchdowns or scoring them, I think Green Bay has the advantage. Overall, their offense is sharper, and I think there's enough holes in Tampa Bay's back end. Plus, you may not be able to apply the pressure that you want to on this offensive line. I think Green Bay's got a decisive advantage there if they can prevent defensively Tampa Bay from getting the chunk plays. I think that's what the game's going to come down to.
Adam Amin joining us, Waddle and Sylvia on ESPN 1000. Adam, who do you believe of the 4 quarterbacks remaining has the most pressure on them to sort of make their mark here the rest of the way?
I mean, you can make a great case for any 4. I think Mahomes has the least amount of pressure on him, assuming he's healthy. I look at Josh Allen and look at the emotional specter of what's hanging over Buffalo, and I wonder if that fan base, how much they've invested in him and how he's reciprocated that. The Stephon Diggs angle, maybe a little bit more pressure added on Josh Allen. I think he's an emotional guy who takes to heart a lot of these things. He's a young guy who's getting his first chance. I feel like maybe that's a little bit of an angle that I look at as a lot of pressure. Mahomes doesn't really feel like it's a lot of pressure for me. Brady maybe, but I feel like Tom's just having a good time. You know, my conversations with him centered around just honestly how good of a time he was having being with Bruce and having the shift of scenery. And I would say Rodgers maybe because he's getting closer to the end. Brady's got his rings. Rodgers has a couple too, but I feel like Rodgers, he really wants to kind of, he's got that chip on his shoulder and he wants to stick it to anybody in the organization who has maybe denied him the feeling of ownership. So I think the emotional angles for Allen and Rodgers probably stick out to me the most. Maybe Allen because of what the fan base is expecting of him.
Adam, let's segue to the hardwood. What have you seen so far from this Chicago Bulls team that has caught your eye and left the biggest impact on you?
Obviously, the evolution of LaVine. I think just in the last couple of weeks, seeing a higher and more wider scope of his game that maybe he's starting to come around to the idea that to be a number one for this particular group in this formation with this coach, I think maybe him starting to figure out that scoring 25 and getting 7 assists a night is maybe more important than him scoring 35 and only nabbing 2 assists a game and not playing defense hard enough and consistently enough. I think his evolution is line one of that. And I think line two is Billy Donovan and how he's navigated. And by the way, I understand every team is going to deal with this or has already dealt with personnel shifting because of COVID issues or injury. But I think he hasn't had really the full complement of this team most of the year, and they've continued to be competitive. Now, I think having 9 guys, 10 guys essentially make up the rotation and figuring out who the 8th, 9th, and 10th guy every night are going to be, that's provided a little bit of a spark. That's provided a little bit of inside competition, and maybe that's elevated the play of some guys that feel like now they need to elevate it. But I think those are the top 2 line items. It's the evolution of LaVine and the navigation of Billy Donovan, and I can use that word navigation in more ways than one.
And it seems from afar, and you're closer to the situation, but I know you can't get too close these days with what's going on, like normal. But it just seems to me, Adam, that you just got a professional in the room with Billy Donovan, that these guys are learning from him, not just the navigation, but that they're growing with him. They're getting some information maybe that they've never gotten before.
I think it's approach, right? And certain approaches work with certain groups. And that's the chemistry experiment that every coach in every professional sport, and I only specify pro sports because of the money involved and how the hierarchy kind of works, but every coach in every professional sport has had to figure that chemistry experiment out. How much support do I give? How much empathy do I deliver? How much do I have to scream at somebody? How much do I play the rah-rah guy? How much do I play the serious guy? How much do I play the relatable guy? And Billy Donovan is exceptional at that. And I don't use that word lightly. I think he is exceptional at deciphering what an individual needs to feel like you can get the most out of them. And part of it is just being even keeled. And that approach, I think, has connected with a lot of different types of personality just in this, you know, 3 month stretch alone. So I think Zach LaVine doesn't need to be cheered on. I think you need to coach Zach LaVine hard but make him realize it on his own. You know, I think that's Billy's approach with Zach. I think with Kobe, you have to push a little bit because he is the type who's young and is hungry and wants to respond in a positive way. I think you have to push him a little bit. And I think Billy's figured out a lot, not all of it, but a lot of the chemistry and a lot of the approach that is necessary for this unique, particular group of young individuals mixed in with the veterans that are out there to try to, you know, make the most of their situations.
Great stuff, Adam. We always appreciate your time. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be watching tomorrow, okay?
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you.
There you go. Adam Amin is awesome. He does football games on Fox. He's had, what, 4 Brady games, he said?
Yeah.
Including one, like, week 15 or 16. He's always talking to Tom Brady. And, of course, he's the new voice of the Bulls and doing great, great work. And we're all friends with Adam. And I know Abdallah and Black have been friends with him for a long, long time. So 332-3776. If you want to weigh in on the Watson stuff that we were talking about. Let's get to that more coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we were talking about Deshaun Watson, and this will continue to be a topic. And the thing that we played today on the heels of Jeremy Fowler yesterday that we played, Jeremy Fowler, the reporter on ESPN, was saying that people inside the Palace Hall building are huge fans of Deshaun Watson. We reacted like, duh. And then we're like a little late on that one, right?
That was your previous coach.
A little late.
And his staff.
And then we were just playing Lewis Riddick from Greeny. In which Lewis Riddick said Matt Nagy, he said Matt Nagy loves Deshaun Watson.
I have talked to a few people up there over the last, I don't know, several months as well. And I get the impression that all of the Bears folks that are decision makers, they really like Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback too.
There is also
some affinity for the career of Tom Brady. They think he's pretty good.
Well, they may have been runners up. Like Fred asked a good question the other day. How much better would the Bears have been if they had Tom Brady this year? That Tom Brady, I guess his second choice, according to Dan Patrick, was the Bears. What if the Bears signed him?
They'd have been better.
Yeah, I mean, they made the playoffs without him.
Right. They'd have been better. It's the whole conversation I always bristle at when people say, well, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be who they are in this Bears offense with that coach and behind. They'd be better. That's the only discussion. Would
the
those
pressure
two guys
really
have been
would
better?
Have, he may have been hurt, though, too. Like, you know what I mean? With that line and the stuff that they went through mid-year.
Who would
with
have been
Nick
hurt?
Foles. Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant Deshaun Watson. I was going to say, have you seen the line he's played behind?
No. Because we know how Brady is. I mean, yes, but maybe Brady gets the ball out quicker than Foles.
They would have been better. You don't have to cut the field in half for Tom.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, you don't. I mean.
So and then Lewis stressed a couple times. Lewis stressed, I guarantee you. He said, I guarantee you that the wheels are churning in Matt Nagy's head on how to get him.
I would think so. I mean, listen, this is Matt's get out of jail free card. I mean, Matt's not in jail, but you know what I'm saying. Like, this is his card to job security and staying, you know, firmly in the seat of the driver's seat as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I mean, if you get a quarterback like that, you've solved a problem that has, you know, been an issue with this franchise for decades. So, yeah, I'm sure. I just, like, look, you put your best package together, for sure. I'm hopeful. But the reality is, as I said, I mean, I thought Adam Amin did a very nice job describing the lack of you know, a firm foundation here, which could turn off a player like Deshaun Watson, who does have a no-trade clause and would have to okay a trade. And I just don't know. Like, when you go to the table to negotiate with the Houston Texans, you know, you're not holding the world's greatest hand.
Let's go around the circle here. Give me an order, guys, of the three reasons. What would be the strongest reason why the Bears wouldn't get him? And the three reasons I'll give you is that Deshaun Watson would veto a trade to the Bears. Number two would be the Texans wouldn't decide to trade him, and they would smooth it over. Or the Bears wouldn't be willing to give up enough or don't have enough to acquire Deshaun Watson. What order would you put that in on the biggest reason on why they wouldn't get him?
You know how I felt from the very beginning. The concept of Houston going away from a franchise quarterback because they're so hard to find, it just boggles my mind. But I'll open my mind to that. My answer to your question would be what's behind door number three. That they just... If Deshaun Watson is going to be on the trade market and the Houston Texans are going to shop him actively, I don't believe the Chicago Bears drafting 20th overall. I don't believe they have enough to make a trade happen with the Texans.
Black Abdallah, how would you vote?
I think it's 3-2-1. They don't have enough to trade. They won't trade him. And he will, if they were going to trade him and they did make an offer, Watson would veto it.
I'm with you.
So you think that's the one that's the least in the way?
I think it's the least in the way because I think it's the least likely to get to that point. Like, I think the first point that you have to get to is obviously Houston being willing to trade him, but I don't think the Bears have enough to go up and get that because your pick is 20th when there's 19 teams ahead of you that have a better better draft pick to trade. Next year's pick and the year after's pick is going to be worse because presumably if you get Deshaun Watson, you're going to be in the playoffs and presumably go far into the playoffs. So your picks get consecutively worse. And then if it does get to that point, if I'm Watson, I'm still going, who am I throwing to and who am I standing behind? So no thank you. Also, you didn't take me out to dinner, so screw you.
Right, and I'm petty. Black, what about you?
I think the Watson being petty, I don't think is a big deal. I also don't think it's a big deal about being worried that the Texans will smooth it over. I don't think that will happen. I think he's getting traded. The thing that I would be worried about the most as a Bears fan is the Bears having enough to offer. I think they could try. And I don't think that would be number one on my list. I think number one on my list would be having enough to offer the Texans to actually get it done.
And this is why, okay, on a number of fronts, this is why being 8-8 is the definition of hell in the National Football League. Because you've been good enough to be the 7th seed in the NFC tournament. Okay? And you're just good enough to be get the 20th pick overall. You're bad enough that you really aren't
a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, you're not a desirable destination because you're not a one-player away team.
Well, the Bears aren't a threat to win a Super Bowl. The Bears aren't a threat to get a top draft pick. The Bears aren't a threat to have a good quarterback because of all that being said.
Right.
That's why stuck in the middle where the Jets are where they are at, you have more hope. Do you have more hope as a Jaguars fan with Urban Meyer and their pick?
And their cap Bears? Space.
Huh?
And their cap space.
Right, right. All that or what the Bears have to offer.
Oh, no. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have a more attractive destination for whether it's a quarterback like Deshaun Watson or it's a head coach candidate. I mean, you have the opportunity. It's a big block of clay, and you can mold it how you see fit.
It's unbelievable. 312-332-3776. So we'll continue to follow the story. Just 2 days ago, I didn't think there was any noise about the Bears, but in the last 2 days, David Carr wrote a piece on NFL.com saying that the Bears are one of the four teams to keep an eye on. Jeremy Fowler said, hey, keep an eye on the Dark Horse Bears because a lot of people at Hallis Hall really, really like them. And then Lewis Riddick gave you more insight on that, saying that it's Matt Nagy loves them.
I'd like to own an island, too. I don't have the resources to purchase the island, so it's just kind of a wish that will never be granted.
Keep rubbing it in, Waddle. Waddle's World is coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at the aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
What are you yelling about, Rector?
This is how we do it.
Oh, okay. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Let's talk some football. Some guys have been hired. Let's start with Dan Campbell, okay? Dan Campbell, former tight end in the league. Where has Dan been?
In New Orleans. He was previously an offensive assistant.
I think Dan played tight end for the Lions years ago. And
he was an interim head coach for the Dolphins a while ago.
Yeah, there you go. I remember that as well. He had a very interesting press conference today, did he not?
Yes, yes.
You want to hear what he had to say?
This is the thing that's getting national pub.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
At first, when Carmen played that today, they were teasing it, and they got me because I stayed to hear this because I thought it was an interesting hire to begin with, and I'm like, this is awesome. The Bears will always be at least better than the Lions. Mm-hmm. This is going to be their head coach. And then I remembered the Ted Phillips stuff, and I got humbled really quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, the dude is now, that's what it says. I'm seeing a picture of it right now. Right outside his office, it says Dan Campbell, head coach / the dude.
Right, from the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
The dude abides.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, what's worse? What, to hear your coach say that or to hear, I don't know, Chris, if you have the Ted Phillips stuff, the team president.
Did we get the quarterback position all the
have
way?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
We bite kneecaps. We're kneecap biters as well.
I'm like, listen to that guy as the new coach of the Lions. We're always going to be better than them. And then all of a sudden I saw Ted Phillips sitting there with a little sweat coming off his brow and that stupid gamer headphone.
What? You thought he was on Twitch?
Yeah.
Is he on Twitch watching somebody play games?
And I'm like, oh, I can't celebrate.
By the way, did Dan Campbell have a chew-in when he was talking?
I don't know.
Didn't it look like he did?
I didn't notice.
What are you laughing at, Abdallah? Didn't it look like to you that he had a chew in?
Might have had a dip in.
Yeah.
Can you hear it?
So this team's going to be built on, We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Yeah. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Is that a quote from the Big Lebowski? Is that like...
No. That's a quote from the Lions head coach on never giving up and being resilient.
Listen, he may win.
And doing whatever it takes.
They may be 17-0 next year. And that's because there will be 17 games.
Who's the coach, the old 49ers coach who lived in his car? Was
Pat
it Jim
Tomasulo?
Who was it? Was it Jim or Mike? Was it Jim or Mike?
Jim.
Mike
I said Jim. Pat. Jim. It's Jim Tomasulo.
Yes, that's him. That's Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
That's where this is, I think. I mean, but again, we got Sweaty Teddy in there with a gamer thing saying this. Are we going to be?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Can you stop? It's depressing me. Don't play that anymore. Put that as banned audio, will you?
I can't talk trash. Not even the Lions fans can talk trash.
Right. The Eagles have hired Nick Sirianni as their head coach. Did I say the Eagles?
You said the Knicks.
I said the Knicks, didn't I? Because I saw his name, Nick. The Eagles have hired Nick Sirianni as their head coach.
He's been with Indy recently.
Yes,
correct?
The Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator.
Is he another guy off the Reed tree? Is he?
He was with Kansas City years ago. Look, this is football in sync, is what this is, isn't it? Isn't this football NFL in sync? Like everyone's trying to find the next Sean McVay or the next Matt LaFleur. Like, isn't that or who's the guy
you're
in
saying
Cincinnati?
This is like
Zach Taylor.
Everyone's looking for the next boy band. Is that the comparison?
Well, I'm just saying, like it's like NFL in sync. I don't know. Like I'm asking myself. And listen, Nick Sirianni may go 17-0 next year. Dan Campbell may go 17-0 next year. What has Eric Bieniemy got to do to actually get a good opportunity? I'm telling you this: the Houston Texans Hail Mary is going to be hiring Eric Bieniemy, which is going to save Deshaun Watson staying in Houston. That's my prediction.
If I'm Bieniemy, I only say I want to know that he's staying and wants to play for me.
Yes.
Right.
And I want a 6-year deal the way Dan Campbell got. Okay. I just don't know. I wonder how much, like Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. I get it. But I wonder how much the struggles, at least now with Doug Peterson and the struggles of Matt Nagy in their offense the last 3 years, has hurt Eric Bieniemy's chances. Maybe there is this feeling that, you know, hey, listen, it's Andy. Although Andy has sat here and told you repeatedly that Eric Bieniemy is his offensive coordinator, he is your play caller, and not just that, he's going to be a fabulous head coach at some point.
Well, but again, like the play calling BS. Matt Nagy only called plays for a few games, and Andy Reid called for most of them. And then don't forget, in Indy, Frank Reich wasn't the play caller in Philly, even though he was the, quote, offensive coordinator. Doug Peterson was calling plays.
Right. Well, my point is that I'm asking the question, is the lack of success recently, at least, from the Andy Reid disciples hurting Eric Bieniemy? I'm telling you, my guess is that Eric Bieniemy is going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans, and he's going to get an opportunity to work with Deshaun Watson.
That would be
my prediction.
And we'll see if that settles everything down.
I would need a guarantee that Watson is staying.
Yeah,
no
that's
question.
What I was saying.
Yeah,
no
like,
question.
You're not. Oof, that would be a bad look.
No, right. You say, let
Didn't
me get
McDaniels
on the phone with
that?
Deshaun.
Yeah.
Deshaun, are you cool? Will you stay? Will you want to play for me, and I'll take the job?
Didn't McDaniels go, I'll take the job? And he was like, about that. Never mind.
Well, here's the deal. Like, I don't think it's necessary that even a talented young quarterback has to have a ton of input on the general manager. But it's not out of the realm of normalcy to have a guy the quality of Deshaun Watson on the field having inputs on who the next head coach is going to be. Again, he's not going to make the final say. But it's a conversation that he should be invited to.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is saying he wanted input on the offensive coordinator job in Seattle. Of course he should.
So, yes. I mean, like, again, I don't – the hiring of Nick Caserio, okay, if Deshaun Watson wasn't involved, that's to me is not some huge slight to Deshaun Watson. But all things considered, especially after they traded his best wide receiver and all the other nonsense that they've gone through, I don't think it's a huge ask for Deshaun Watson to have some input into who the head coach is going to be, or at least have a voice in that room for sure. Other stuff for you. Patrick Mahomes was on the practice field today. Continued preparation for the Sunday game against the Bills. He was also on the field yesterday, listed as limited participant as league rules require because he remains in the concussion protocol. But he took all the snaps yesterday. It sounds like he'll be fine.
But it's still not officially cleared yet.
True. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says his future is, quote, a beautiful mystery. Just days away from his fifth NFC championship game and his fourth since his Super Bowl appearance 10 years ago, Rodgers insisted that he's not looking at Sunday's game against the Bucs as a best last chance scenario. Quote, I'm always just trying to stay present, especially this year, as much as anything, and enjoy the moments. I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't. The stuff is out of my control. My future is a beautiful mystery.
It is. And I don't know if you guys saw, but the ratings for the Brady-Breeze game was the highest rated television show since the Super Bowl. They drew a combined 36 million plus viewers. This game, don't you? Now, it's the earlier game, so maybe not, but I would think this has that and then some.
This one's a more appealing game to me than last week's game.
That's what I'm saying, that this is Rodgers against Brady for the Super Bowl. I mean, don't you think everyone's watching this one?
I would think so. If you have a TV and a thirst for football, you are going to be there watching. Former Packers general manager Ted Thompson has passed away at the age of 68. Thompson is the one who drafted Aaron Rodgers and traded away Brett Favre and built the team that won the Super Bowl back in 2011. He played 10 seasons. Thompson played 10 seasons in the NFL with the Houston Oilers and served as the Packers general manager from 05 through 2017.
Sad story. He just had his birthday on Sunday, too.
So, that's not a good story. Nets point guard Kyrie Irving returned and scored 37 points in a double overtime loss to the Cavs.
To the Cavs. Can you believe that? It was a good game. There was a lot of good action in the league yesterday, but that surprised me. And did you see all the shots he put up, too? I think he was number one on shots. KD was number two, and then Harden was number three.
He played 48 minutes and shot the ball 28 times. What's that, Adam? Is that you? Oh, I thought you said something. I'm sorry.
And then, they've got they're playing them a lot. Like, did you see all the minutes? I think KD played 50 minutes last night.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, isn't it? For some random game against Cleveland?
Yeah, well, after,
I know it's two overtimes, but still.
Postponements evolving as the Grizzlies have been parked for the next three games. That's what they're calling it now, parked, according to Woj. Postponement of the next three Grizzlies games marks an evolution in how the NBA is handling COVID-19 scenarios within teams, essentially parking a team and taking them out of circulation once a roster has been exposed to the virus. In previous instances, the league has allowed teams to isolate positive players and sideline others in contact tracing, yet still allowed teams to proceed with games if they had eight eligible players. So they have been parked.
Okay.
They've been parked. When we come back, I got some nonsensical stories for you. This hour brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Before the nonsense, a couple other stories for you. Antonio Brown is a game-time decision for Sunday. Bucks wide receiver. And I see this Notre Dame has been placed on probation for 1 year over a recruiting violation or two.
Really?
football program on probation for 1 year. It was announced today after the sides agreed that a former assistant coach had impermissible off-campus recruiting contact with a high school player in January of 2019. In addition to the probation, the Fighting Irish were also fined $5,000 and face other recruiting restrictions, including one less official visit, 14 fewer days for unofficial visits, and a seven-day off-campus recruiting ban for the entire coaching staff this spring. That's probably like a week off for the guys. Like, you know, you don't have to travel all over your region to recruit kids. You're going to get the week off.
So not, kind of a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
So going back to Antonio Brown, it's a knee, right? What did they? Is it a sprained knee? What are they saying?
A trick knee. You know, ever had one of those trick knees? Yeah, no. Like it just gives out every now and again. No, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Trick knee.
It's a trick knee. Don't you ever remember that? Like your father or your like old people back in the day, they used to call it that. Yeah, I got my trick knee. Oh, my trick knee's giving me trouble right now.
I've got a trick knee.
Do you have a trick knee?
No, seriously, yeah.
And how would you describe your trick knee?
Multiple hyperextensions, which would lead to torn ligaments, but I never actually went and got that checked out. So the knee...
Self-diagnosed?
Yeah, self-diagnosed. Wobbly side to side, not front back.
That's a trick knee.
Yeah,
a
trick knee. And so it does not affect my running because I rehabbed it and I'm good frontward, going forward and backwards.
Side to side,
on a basketball court.
Yeah,
that's how the trick knee has gone out on me a couple times. Yeah. So I try to limit my basketball play.
So that's how you got hurt playing basketball with the trick knee.
Yeah, I a little over aggressive, took a charge, but the dude
not only
did he hit me in the chest, but then he fell into my knee and my knee completely buckled backwards.
Yeah,
did you get the call at least?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was charging, yeah. Okay. Without a doubt, yeah.
At least you helped
the team. I was there first,
yeah.
Stationary,
you
too.
Were not in the restricted area at all.
No, this is out, like, on the perimeter. Okay. I was good. I was in front. I caught him
off. Who was this unathletic opponent that was just kind of barreling through
out
the
of
defense?
Control.
Some dude playing in the league. So he barreled into my knee.
Did you finish playing the game or did you leave?
I was out for some time.
Yeah.
And then I did my little rehab plan. I had no medical degree or anything. And then a year later.
You did it without any medical degree.
Yeah, no.
You rehabbed it yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read about it and like clearly something was messed up. Right. So then I rehabbed it. I'm running again. Everything's good. Nothing. No problems.
And back on the court. Gets drunk and falls into you at a concert and gives you the trick knee again.
Now, I'm not kidding. Like a year later. In the open court, I go to cross someone over, and legit, the trick knee completely
just gave out.
So, like, there is something missing in there. Yeah. So I try and avoid those situations.
Waddle, this is called, it says a luxating patella, sometimes called a trick knee.
Well, your patella will, like, well, if it's, it'll dislocate and go back in.
I think Yurko helped me diagnose that. Yeah. It was just a torn meniscus is probably
I
have, yeah.
Yurko's good at that.
My daughter play a soccer game, and she stepped on the sideline, and she planted her foot, and I watched her kneecap go from where it's normally supposed to be to all the way around to the back and then kind of come back forward. And then we went straight to the MRI machine, and then she had massive surgery like a week and a half later. That's awful.
She's super tough, though. This happened to Emerson,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's tougher than anyone in the house.
And
my wife had her hip replaced too. So like I'm way down the list when it comes to toughness. My oldest daughter headbutted the goalie at Penn State because she could.
Yeah.
And got like seven stitches and a concussion. And I said afterwards,
did she get a red card?
I think she got a yellow card.
Okay.
But I asked her why at the end of the game, and she was just like, "I was mad." Like, that's your mom. That ain't me. That's your mom. That's your mom's ability to get angry. Not mine. Drunk woman who started twerking and doing handstands on a McDonald's counter, then grabbed a mop and locked herself in a toilet, is arrested.
That's everything. Is twerking still a thing? Do people still twerk?
That I don't know. I do know a drunk teenager who climbed a McDonald's counter and twerked as cops tried to arrest her, then locked herself in a bathroom, bragged about her antics online. Layla North, 18, was charged with public nuisance for the inebriated stunt in Southwest Queensland during the early hours of November 20th. Her drunken antics began about 12:30 a.m. when she repeatedly twerked and did handstands the front of the shop, the court heard. Then she grabbed a mop and began cleaning the floor before jumping on the McDonald's counter where she continued to dance as police arrived. After making numerous requests for her to stop, the staff called police. The teenager locked herself in the store's bathroom to avoid being arrested. She thought that they'd never, you know, she would stay in there indefinitely.
That's like a Florida or Ohio story right there.
She assaulted and obstructed a police officer, damaged a watch house cell after being arrested. The next day, she was arrested again after assaulting police officers outside one of the town's local pubs.
Fantastic.
North pleaded guilty to seven charges, including public nuisance, willful damage, and assaulting and obstructing police.
And she had a trick knee.
She had a trick knee.
Coming up in 2 minutes, Dan Weiderer is going to join us. Who's left as far as the Bears coaching staff, and why Lewis Riddick thinks the Bears could be a destination for Deshaun Watson? We're back in two.